just tuning in, again, we welcome you to our Good Friday worship here at Our Savior. As planned, again, we are just having a little bit of time to contemplate and reflect on our Savior Jesus with some pre-service music. So thank you again for being with us.
Smitten and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proves I see sufficient of it, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me as you hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends do fear his cross disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to mourn him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that just escaped. Oh, 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 oh. If you think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here you see in nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Thank you again for joining us on this Good Friday. We will now begin our worship. I do do have a couple of announcements before we get started. The Tenebrae service on the Seven Words from the Cross will be live streamed tonight at 7 p.m. We do have our Easter sunrise devotion at 7 a.m. And the Easter festival service will be live streamed at 9:30. So once again, that's the Seven Words from the Cross tonight at 7 p.m. For Good Friday, we have our Easter sunrise devotion at 7 a.m. and our Easter festival service live streamed at 9:30 on Easter Sunday. We begin our worship with the first three verses. Alas, and did my Savior bleed?
This Good Friday afternoon, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us focus on Jesus, who lovingly and willingly walked the path of crucifixion. Have to be nailed to the tree? Did he have to die in this way?
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Jesus answered the criminal, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And a short time later, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending your Son to be our Savior, King, who went to the cross to suffer the full and crushing weight of the punishment we deserved. We thank you that Jesus came to conquer sin, death, and Satan, and to rule in our hearts through the Spirit's gift of faith. Fill us with deep appreciation for our King's saving work. Help us to fully trust in him who rose from the dead and who gives us the certain hope of life forever with you. We pray this in your dear Son's name. Amen. We turn to a lesson of confession from Psalm 51 when we're reminded that we can approach God seeking forgiveness purely on the basis of his mercy, of his love. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely, I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The joy of our salvation came at a great price. We sing of our thankfulness now in verses 4 and 5.
Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears.
Blessing of our forgiveness, of our assurance in heaven, is seen over and over throughout all of Scripture through our Savior Jesus. We hear now of three of those lessons. First, from Ephesians chapter 1. In Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. And finally, from John's Gospel, chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We confess our faith together using the words of the explanation to the second article, which really focus us on the saving work of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Dear friends, the word of God from Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 to 31. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then wove a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This is God's word. The Roman soldiers cried out in mockery, "Hail, King of the Jews! This man's a king." He had claimed to be such just a few hours earlier in front of Pilate. And then he had made some kind of wild claim that his kingdom was not of this world. This man's a king? You can just about imagine what those soldiers were thinking. Where's his wealth? Where is his power? Where is his honor? Where are his subjects, his soldiers? This man's weak. He's poor. He's clearly unimportant. He has nothing but a cruel death awaiting him. So the Roman soldiers did as they often did. They wanted to find a way to entertain themselves, a way to amuse themselves. So they carried out their job of crucifying this king. So they spit on him. They formed and then they placed a crown of thorns on his head. They put a robe on him and gave him a scepter, a staff. And they fell to their knees before him, all to ridicule him. Then they grabbed that scepter and they hit him repeatedly on his blood-soaked head. And all of this before, rather right after, he had been flogged, where he had received those many flesh-tearing lashes, such dishonor for the King of Kings. Often, the victims of flogging, just flogging, don't survive. According to one commentator, he stated that flogging was also regarded as a severe form of mercy, since a flogging would inevitably reduce the length of time the victim would have to spend on the cross before he died. Yes, such mockery. How could they? Today, dishonoring Jesus, my dishonoring Jesus, takes a different form. But the results are the same. My sins nailed him to the tree. My sins caused his agony on that blood-stained cross. You and I didn't press the crown of thorns on Jesus, but we injure his dear children with our cutting sarcasm. You and I didn't stand in that crowd and shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But we debase his holy name when we curse and swear. You and I didn't spit on him, but we degrade our spouse, our children, our parents, our co-workers with our spiteful words. You and I didn't inflict those excruciating lashes, but we pollute purity with our lust. You and I didn't ridicule him with a garment and a scepter, but we treat him as a second-class king when our greed swallows contentment. You and I didn't pound those nails into Jesus' hands and feet, but we devalue his holiness when our minds wander while we worship, when we ignore his word, when we pray thoughtlessly or serve mechanically, or when we think somehow that we deserve something good from God. Oh, I hope that I never smugly think that I haven't really mistreated Jesus that badly. Jesus reminds me that whenever I mistreat the least of those around me, I'm mistreating him. I am dishonoring him. How could those Roman soldiers so mistreat him? How could I? May you and I never trivialize that our King was crucified. Dear friends, remember what our Savior endured for you and for me. And remember why he endured it. John tells us, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Our King, Jesus, he endured dishonor as he marched to Golgotha, to the place of the skull. Our King, Jesus, intentionally gave up his power and his glory to be mocked, to be beaten, and yes, to be condemned to death. Our King, Jesus, allowed flogging and thorns, nails, and torture. And far worse, and most importantly, He willingly suffered hell itself, forsaken by his own dear Father. I know how horrible the guilt of just one of my own sins can feel. It can weigh me down and make me ill. Just one. Then I add the weight of all of my sins and all of my guilt together. And it's overwhelming. And now, let's add yours. Let's add your lifetime of sin and guilt on top of mine. And then on top of ours, let's add the sins of every living person and the guilt of every person that ever lived. It's impossible. It's really beyond our comprehension to imagine the overwhelming weight of that mountain, of that mountain range of sin and guilt and punishment that was piled on top of Jesus, our crucified King. Oh, Isaiah graphically described it when he wrote, "He was crushed for our iniquities." Jesus resolutely chose to pay the price for your punishment and for mine. He leveled that mountain. He reversed our eternal death sentence. That's why he came. He came to give us victory, to give us forgiveness. He came so that the dishonor of the Roman soldiers, so that the dishonor of that Good Friday mob, so that my dishonor and your dishonor might be forgiven, so that our sin and our guilt could be removed, cleansed, and washed away fully by his blood. Yes, by the wounds of our King, we're healed. We're whole, complete, sinless, because of Jesus. May this good news, may this gift of forgiveness strengthen and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Jesus is our King, but watch out. Watch out for imposters. Imposters that seek to take over your heart. When that imposter of temptation snakes into your life, fix your eyes on our crucified King. When hardships invade, keep your eyes focused on our crucified King. When uncertainty surrounds you, and there's plenty of that these days, keep your eyes on our Savior, Jesus. Yes, when suffering takes up residence in your life, focus on Jesus, who died, but who is now alive and ruling in your heart. You know, when hardships, when uncertainty and suffering crash into our lives, Jesus may really seem far away. He may seem weak. He may seem detached and even uncaring. How did Jesus look when he stood before Pilate? How did he look after all he went through when he stood before that angry mob on that Friday? How did Jesus look when he stumbled and staggered up that hill to be crucified? Yes, how did Jesus look when he hung, battered, and bleeding on that cross? Did he look weak? Did he look powerless? Did Jesus look ineffective? I think I'd have to answer yes, he did. But oh, how we know that wasn't the case. In those moments, Jesus' love wasn't wavering. It wasn't failing. Quite the opposite. His love was shining. It was shining brighter than ever. You see, he willingly went through all of this. He willingly gave up his power. He humbled himself for us so that we could be spared ever having to experience one moment, not even one second, of that kind of agony of hell, so we could be glorified. Our crucified King, Jesus, suffered all of this to conquer Satan, to defeat death, and to overcome hell. He suffered all of this to remove, yes, to disintegrate our mountain of sin, so that through his sacrifice, we might inherit his glorious riches. Thanks be to God, Paul wrote. Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the soldiers for a moment, whose job it was to torture and to kill this king through crucifixion. They knew that this man hanging dead on the cross was someone special. Matthew tells us, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely, he was the Son of God." Cling to Jesus, the Son of God. Embrace his care for you. Cling to him every day and in every circumstance. Cling to Jesus for power to live for him. Cling to him. I want to, and you do too. But how can we constantly remain close to him and consistently live for him? Consider a simple plan, a plan to prioritize and to focus. Cling to him by making sure that you put Jesus first at the top of your things to do list. Cling to him through daily and frequent prayer. Go to him through regular devotion and worship, both at home and together. Yes, go to him by spending meaningful time with Jesus in his word. And when we're together again in person, go to him by receiving his very special supper. Yes, prioritize and focus. This may also be a good time to review and renew. To review and renew your plan to grow spiritually, to keep feeding your faith. As you fill up with Jesus, you'll just overflow with thankfulness, with thanksgiving. And it'll naturally be reflected in how you think, in how you speak, and in what you do. Treasure your Savior who died for you because he loves you so much. Jesus satisfied God's righteous anger over sin, over your sin, by letting God's anger and judgment consume him. That's the good news of Good Friday. Praise and honor and glory to our crucified King. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we honor you as the King of Kings, for you entered our world to destroy our enemies of sin, Satan, and death. You emptied yourself of your power and glory and suffered the punishment that we deserved because of our sins. We praise you for being our King and ruling in our hearts through the precious gift of faith. All glory to you, our crucified King. And dear Savior, grant comfort and peace to the Wege, the Prom, and the Rath families as you have called home to heaven in recent days Beth Wege, a former pre-K teacher here at Our Savior, Wally Gutschow, Jolene Prom's father, and Fred Pieper, Kyla Rath's father. Lord, draw these families close to you as they find strength in the good news of forgiveness, hope in your certain promises, and comfort in your glorious resurrection. Dear Jesus, we seek your continued care and compassion for Rue Bublitz. According to your good and gracious will, Lord, grant him healing and strength. Reassure Rue and his loved ones that you will continue to guide and to support them day by day. O Christ, our Lamb of God, keep each of us faithful to the end of our days until we stand before your throne in heaven and praise you with all the saints in glory everlasting. And now we join in the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the blessing of our Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's conclude our Good Friday service and worship today with an eye on Easter, that we praise our beautiful Savior for his willing sacrifice, and also looking forward to his glorious resurrection. We sing, Beautiful Savior.
The sky.
more.